Amen. How many of us really feel like we just excel at praying? You know, like I just got this prayer thing down. I don't have any problems with it. I'm praying all the time. Like it's no big deal. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're kind of more like me. Like prayer is hard work. Like it's hard to like keep your mind not from going to what you got going on later that day or that week or that year or looking backwards. You know, how many of us just feel like we have this prayer thing down? I asked those in Sunday school this morning, and Dale was like, "Oh, I can't do that." I said, "Hey, we're doing this 21-day, 24/7 prayer thing." He was like, "Really? Like, is that a good idea?" Like, he straight up basically said that, and I was like, "Well, we're gonna find out." But you know what? He's like, "I don't know if I could pray that long," and I was like, "You know, there's so much more to prayer, but it's something that I know we often struggle with." And I think, especially as Christians, like sometimes in like our Christian culture, prayer can be kind of like a guilt thing too. Like you always feel like, oh, I should pray more. You know, like, oh, I should pray more. I should pray longer. I should enjoy prayer more, and I just don't. Like maybe that's your experience, or maybe it's just me. And so many of us sometimes feel like we should be praying more, but when we get there to do it, it's just kind of boring. Or so many times maybe we hear people use prayer like slang, you know, kind of like bless your heart, like, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. But do we really do that? Sometimes, maybe, but sometimes it's just something we kind of say. Or maybe we feel like prayer is something that just like the professionals should do. Like, you know, I get that look at the pastor thing whenever someone's like, hey, we're going to all pray, like all eyes slowly turn toward me, you know, and I'm like, what is it, you know? Or like when I go to family gatherings, like they're like, all right, we're going to eat, Paul, and I'm like, yes, I like to eat. And they're like, no, you're the prayer. I'm like, oh, okay. Like sometimes we feel like, oh, that's just something the pastor should do. And not just that, like I think about us trying to pray now in 2021. Like it's so hard to pray sometimes because we have this thing in our pocket, this phone that can take us to all kinds of other, you know, sometimes it seems like more just interesting news or Instagram or whatever. There's all kinds of stuff that distracts us from wanting to pray. It's just hard to do in today's time. But not just that, like I feel like we live in a time and a culture where the idea of prayer is just so foreign and increasingly maybe more foreign. It's looked at with a whole lot of cynicism and maybe even some disdain a little bit. Like, I don't need your prayers. Like, what are you actually going to do for me? Like, sometimes if I see someone and they need help, like, I feel bad if I don't have something to offer them and prayer. You know, maybe that's just me. I feel bad if I say all I can offer you is prayer. Prayer is not looked on so highly. And I think we feel those same questions and we wrestle with those same doubts. Like, when we pray, do we ever wonder, is God really listening to me? Or am I just talking to the ceiling? Does prayer actually do anything? Or when a prayer is answered, is it just a coincidence? Or was that really God? Why doesn't God answer my prayers or speak to me? How many of us have read the Bible and where it talks about God speaking and just longed, just hope that that would be us one day? Or maybe our questions aren't really about the cynic or about a skepticism when it comes to prayer. Maybe it's more about the wounds we have when it comes to prayer. Like, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God, you just weren't there. You just didn't answer my prayer. Where was God when I needed him? Why do you stay silent, God? Or maybe you're like me sometimes and you just feel too exhausted to even speak any words. And my point that I guess I'm trying to make is that I feel like for us and for us that are trying to follow Jesus, that are trying to be his apprentices, praying is just hard. It's just something that's difficult and something that I think we can struggle with. And I think a lot of us have a lot of associated thoughts and feelings with it. But when I think about my own experience of prayer and I look at how prayer is talked about in the Bible and I look at Jesus' own life with prayer and the life of his disciples, I can't help but see a lot of contradictions sometimes. Like, we'll talk more about this in coming weeks, but in all the biographies of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see so many examples of Jesus spending a large amount of his time in prayer. Like in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says that Jesus would often withdraw to deserted places to pray. Like it was a regular part of, of his relationship with God to go and to do that. We read that Jesus would spend whole nights in prayer, which, if I'm honest, just sounds super intimidating to me. We read that Jesus spent at least, at one point, 40 days and nights fasting and praying, that Jesus thought prayer was more important than food and then sleep, two things that rarely are pretty high on my importance list, and Jesus put prayer above that. Or consider Jesus' disciples. When we think about the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus taught them that prayer, it was in response to a question. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And that's one of the only times in Scripture that we read about a question where his disciples just blatantly ask him, Jesus, teach me how to do something. And think about all that Jesus did. He exorcised demons. He healed people. He walked on water. He delivered effective yet somehow non-sinful insults to the Pharisees. He raised the dead at one point. He calmed storms. He catered a meal to thousands. He did all of those things, and yet the one question that the disciples asked, teach me how to, was about prayer, you know? Like, I think there would have been some other things, like teach me how to turn, water into wine. Like, that might have been a little higher on my list of things to ask Jesus, but for them, it was prayer. And I wonder if maybe it was because when the disciples spent time with Jesus, they saw this kind of relationship that he had with God his Father and thought that maybe everything else that Jesus did in his life revolved around his prayer life with Jesus, or with God his Father, that everything in his life revolved around this connection that he had with God. And it gets me thinking, and it really gets me feeling challenged to devote more and more time and more energy into following my teacher, following our Rabbi Jesus when it comes to prayer. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on for the next month or so. We're going to be wrestling with all kinds of topics when it comes to prayer. And especially when we think about our church. Our church here at Brush Hill has a great long history with prayer and being a prayerful people. And we're going to continue that. But for today, we're going to ask and respond to the question, how should we approach God in prayer? Like, how should we approach God in prayer as people? And to do that, we're going to look at Mark chapter 10. If you want to, maybe you already have that open, but if you don't, we're going to turn over there to start in verse 13 and read 13 through 16 in Mark. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Familiar story. Probably all of us have heard that story in some way, shape, or form. And while this passage, it doesn't address prayer per se, I believe that Jesus has a really important word for us about prayer in here. And so we're going to look at this text and kind of walk through it here. So in verse 13, it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. Your translation might say that Jesus wanted to place his hands on them or lay his hands on them or touch them. But basically, the parents were coming to Jesus saying, please bless my children. Please bless my children. Any parents in the room know exactly what that's about. You want Jesus to bless your children. You want Jesus to come and to personally bless them. But it says that the disciples rebuked them, which you can imagine if people brought children and wanted to bring them here for me to pray over or for you to pray over, how wild it would be if people came and said, no, don't interrupt Jesus while he's teaching or doing things. And in this day, we know that children were not they were not welcome in all the spheres of life like they are now. People weren't as tender with children as they are now. And so Jesus' disciples wanted to keep them away. And Jesus looks at them and says, no, bring the children to me. Verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. It's one of the rare times we see Jesus getting really mad at people, but he was mad at the disciples in this moment. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And I love Jesus' teaching style because he just lays it, he like lays a truth out there. He says they might not enter it, or they may or may not. No, he just makes a statement about reality that in order to come to God, in order to experience the fullness of God's kingdom, we have to come like little children. It's just how it is. And Jesus says that to his disciples there. He expands the understanding to think about receiving the kingdom as children. I think there's a lot that Jesus is saying here when it comes to receiving the kingdom like children, but I want to just mention a few things in particular. In fact, the three things that I want to mention are that when it comes to Jesus, if we're to take Jesus, our teacher, and our Lord seriously, then in prayer we must approach God like children. And in particular, I think we need to approach God with positions of honesty, of dependence, and wonder. Honesty, dependence, and wonder. A few words about each of those. When I say we need to approach God with honesty, I'm not saying that kids don't know how to lie. They don't know how to tell or move the truth a few feet or so. In fact, I remember growing up telling my mom when my mom would come pick me up from my grandparents' house, and I would take forever to come to the car. I used to tell her, "Oh, I just didn't hear you, Mom. Sorry." No, really, I heard her. I just didn't want to leave, right? Like, kids know how to lie. That's not what I'm saying when it comes to honesty. But what I am saying is one of the things I think is so profound when it comes to kids is that they are so often unable to hide their true thoughts, emotions, or responses to life. Like, they just tell you exactly what's going on with them. I was bringing home the junior campers from camp a couple weeks ago. And when we got on the bus and we're on the way back, they said, "Hey, are we going to eat somewhere?" And I was like, "Yeah, like, but don't tell anyone. I'm going to take y'all to Chick-fil-A. But, like, don't say anything because I don't know if any of the other churches are going." I mean, that was a terrible thing to do. Within 2 seconds, they were like, "Chick-fil-A." They're like telling their friends, like, "We're going to Chick-fil-A." Like, they could not contain it. Even no matter how many times I said, "Don't tell people," they told them immediately. And when we finished as we were finishing the meal, some of them got free ice cream. Guess what? They had no problem asking me for more ice cream. I was like, "Look, I'm not made of money here. Like, you have what you have." But they had no problem asking for more ice cream. They had no problem asking their friends from other churches to come sit in this, like, all this booth that was already, we were like 5 or 6 people in, and I couldn't hardly move. When we went out to the car, little Blake held up her ice cream cone and was like, "Hey, I'm bringing this on the bus," and it was just like melting down her arm. And I was like, "Oh my goodness!" Like, what I love about kids is when it comes to their life and when it comes to asking for things, they're just honest. They're just who they are. They don't try to hide anything. I think that somewhere along the way, we learn that we can't be that way with God. That, like, we might think or want or have one thing in our heart, but we feel like we ought to ask for something else. You know, we can have selfish thoughts in our hearts, but we certainly can't share them aloud with God. We can be mad or greedy or tired or upset or whatever, but when we pray, we feel like, "I've got to be spiritual, right? I can't, even if this is how I feel, I've got to ask God for these other things." And as I read through the Gospels, one of the things you might notice is the difference between the disciples and the religious leaders. The disciples often act like children. Like, Peter can't keep his foot out of his mouth. James and John, they come to Jesus and argue about who is the greatest. When Nathanael is invited to meet Jesus for the first time, he just blatantly and openly, like, expresses his prejudice toward Jesus' hometown. How can anything good come from Nazareth? And yet, Jesus continually welcomes them and invites them into his midst. He welcomes them to follow him. But if you compare that with the Pharisees, the Pharisees are constantly hidden when it comes to their motives. If you look back at the beginning of chapter 2, Jesus is teaching on marriage. And in verse 2, it says that some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" See, they didn't really care about marriage. They were just trying to get Jesus in trouble. If you look ahead to chapter 12, there's another instance where Jesus is teaching about money, and it said he's doing this not because the Pharisees actually cared about money. It was because they're trying to trap him. Jesus was constantly looking past their motives and seeing what was really going on in their heart. When it comes to childlike prayer, I think one of the most important things we can do sometimes is just drop the act. Drop this religious act that we feel like we should pray and bring these things to God and just be honest. Prayer is hard if you're not praying about what's really going on in your life. Prayer is no fun if you're praying about one thing but you don't really mean it, your heart's really somewhere else. Pray about how you actually feel and experience life with God, not how you feel like you should be experiencing and thinking about God. One example I have of this was a while back I was talking with a person, and a lady, and she had experienced a whole lot of trauma in her life. She'd experienced a lot of pain and a lot of trauma from one person in particular, and it was someone that took advantage of her and hurt her deeply. And as we were talking, she expressed how she had forgiven this person, but it was hard. She says, you know, I've forgiven them. I know God wants me to forgive them, so I forgive them, but I'm still just having a hard time doing that. And as we were talking, it was very clear to me that she still had a whole lot of pent-up anger and just in her heart, anger and revenge and just a whole lot of things that were there underneath the surface. And so I looked at her and said, to be honest, I don't really think you have forgiven them, and I don't think you're ready to. And she looked at me kind of like, what are you talking about? And I said, you are bringing to God, saying, God, help me to forgive them, when in your heart right now you are angry, you are upset, you are still hurt, and you need to bring those things to God before you can ever talk about forgiveness. She felt like she ought to pray one thing because that's how she'd been taught and that's what she felt like a good Christian should do. But before she even got there, she had to deal with what was really going on within her, and that was a whole lot of pain and anger. God had to meet her in those places so that her prayers for forgiveness wouldn't be powerless. We tell people and ourselves that God loves them as they are, but when it comes to prayer, too many times we put up a front with God and ourselves. There's a quote that says, prayer is bringing your real self to the real God of the universe. And so I believe that a more rich, vibrant experience of God's presence in prayer begins not when we approach God with how we ought to pray, but when we approach God with the honesty of a child, with what's really going on, regardless of how Christ-like it is or not. Because sometimes I don't pray a lot of Christ-like things. I pray, God, help me deal with these things in my heart. Which brings me to dependence. Children are not independent people, right? We're reminded of that every April 15th when we're reminded of their other name, dependence, right? Like, children are not independent. That's what they are. They are dependent. They can't talk. Young children can't talk. They can't walk. They can't do anything and depend on their parents for everything. And yet, as we get older, you know, our lives are marked with more independence. As I talked about a few weeks ago, we feel like it's a good thing to become more and more independent, but when it comes to Jesus, we see over and over he talks about he only did the things that he saw his Father doing and only said the things that he saw his Father speaking. In the same way, I think when it comes to prayer, so much of our prayer life, we have to approach God as children dependent on our Father in heaven. As Paul Miller writes, when we slow down to pray, we are immediately confronted with how unspiritual we are, with how difficult it is to concentrate on God. We don't know how bad we are until we try to be good. Nothing exposes our selfishness and self-powerlessness like prayer. How many of us have tried to pray, and again, we found ourselves thinking about anything and everything but God or but prayer? When that happens, I don't get upset. I see it as a reminder of just how dependent I am on God to even keep me focused on God. While we pride ourselves on being able to take care of ourselves, when it comes to praying with God, it's all about dependence. Early on in my ministry, I I discovered that one of the things, I discovered a lot of things that I'm not good at when it comes to ministry, a lot of things that I got to get better at. But one of the things I had started to have a little pride on was like, I can teach a pretty good small group. Like when we go to camp or when we have youth group, like one of the things like I felt like I could do pretty well was get a group of people around and have an awesome conversation about God where we would talk about the things of God, where people would feel included, all those things. Like I felt really confident in that. And so I got to a point over time where I would just walk into it, not think about it. We would do it and it would generally go well. And then one day I had an awful, awful small group time. Like the youth were just staring at me like, what are you talking about? Like it felt like I was speaking a foreign language. Like it was so awkward, so silent. And in that moment, God reminded me that yes, while I'm able to lead a small group well, I can't do anything to change anybody's heart. We can have a good discussion, but unless God moves in someone's heart, unless God reminds them and shows them the content of what's going on, I have such limited control over everything. And I was reminded that dependence smashes pride and creates humility, and humility is so important when it comes to prayer and remembering what God can do. I think that sometimes we limit our prayers with God because we want to avoid being disappointed. Or we limit our prayers to things we know we can accomplish on our own, things with little faith. But when it comes to God, faith is a requirement of prayer. As the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Like we should pray bold prayers. We should pray beyond ourselves because we are dependent. We are dependent on God. Being dependent allows us to do what we can while resting on Christ and trusting that not everything is up to us. And I think when we approach God from a position of honesty and dependence, it will lead us to have a mind and a heart of wonder at God in prayer. Like when it comes to prayer, there's so many things I don't know how to answer. Like I don't know why God answers some prayers and not others. Like I don't know why God speaks dramatically in some ways to some people and not to others. Like I don't know all the reasons why God is sometimes silent or not, but I do know that that it's not because God doesn't love us or care for us. And I know that because on the cross, when I think about Jesus and I think about when Jesus was on the cross and he hung there and before he died, he prayed a prayer from the Psalms. Simple prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? In those moments, Jesus was being totally and completely honest with God. He felt abandoned. He felt like he was alone. He wasn't trying to sugarcoat it like, I know you're going to do something later, God, like I'm totally fine. No, like he was suffering and he wanted God to know. And in those moments, why have you forsaken me? He was completely dependent. He knew that his situation was dependent on God. He is expressing trust that though he felt forsaken, that God, he was hanging on nothing there other than his faith and his trust of God. And it's through those things that 3 days later, the people experienced the wonder of the resurrection. The wonder of the resurrection. I feel like we all need times when we can get away and be like a child, again experiencing the wonder and the beauty of God in prayer. And so as we get ready to go out on a mission trip, as we get ready to go into this week, whatever's taking place in our week, as we get ready to pray for 21 days, praying and asking God to be with us and to move among us, I just want to encourage us all that Lord willing, God will give us a sense of his wonder in prayer. That like kids depending on our parents for everything, like little young Blake who looked up at me depending that I would say yes to her request for ice cream, and when I gave it to her, she was filled with glee and delight that God will honor our requests to seek him and to know him. And that God will be, like he says he is, a loving parent who loves his children and who loves us as we approach him in prayer. Let's pray. God, I spoke a lot there about prayer, but now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray. God, I know that so many times we come to you feeling like we have to be a certain kind of person or pray a certain kind of prayer. And Lord, we do anything and everything, but sometimes bring our true, honest selves before you. We come before you maybe sometimes as a last resort because we feel like we can handle things on our own. I pray that over this next week and over this next month and, Lord, ultimately over our whole lives, Lord, would you help us to not put on any sort of mask or face, but instead, God, to just be ourselves with you. God, if we have selfishness or anger or whatever else in our heart, Lord, help us to not hide those things, but to bring them to you in prayer. Lord, if we just feel like we're consumed by something that we can't get rid of, a problem we can't overcome, a situation that's too big for us, if we're tempted to believe that we can handle things on our own, Lord, would you help us to be dependent on you? Would you help us to be humble before you so that we can experience the wonder of how you move and work in prayer? God, as the disciples yearn for Jesus to teach them to pray, so do we yearn for you to teach us to pray. We love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, this week I want you all to just set aside a time to pray, whether that's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, set aside some time a way to pray. It can be 5 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, it could be longer. And in that time, I just want to encourage you to think about and record what is it actually like for you to pray. Is it hard? Do you find yourself being distracted? Do you find yourself praying one thing when really you mean another? I just want you to this week set aside some time and just be mindful of what you're actually praying. Is it what you're actually thinking and feeling? Or are you trying to convince yourself or God that it's something else? This week is a week where I want us to be honest in our prayer life so that next week we're going to dig into the first part of the Lord's Prayer. As we come together to sing our final hymn, I just want to encourage you, sing, pray, come down to the front if you'd like to pray. Just do whatever you feel like God needs you or is asking you to do in this time, and let us worship God through this song.